Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Canada's top queer community talk show. And we have an exciting new show for you today, and that was an accurate slip of the tongue. It is certainly a news-style conversation we're happening. Now, in something that should not be news to anyone, really, is my co-host, Sebastian, who notoriously, doesn't have much luck with transit, is currently, in transit. So, with very little to no surprise there, he is unfortunately running behind. But the show must go on. Now, the topic of today's conversation, we don't have a guest lined up today. We've had quite a heavy few weeks with really big, interesting topics. Don't forget, last week we did discuss the state of HIV funding here in Canada, looking at the Public Health Agency of Canada's funding of agencies that work really with second wave infection issues, you know, ranging from support from agencies such as various AIDS committees and the work that they do on the front line. It's a fantastic interview. Check it out. We interviewed the executive director of the Canadian AIDS Society to get a bit of an inside scoop and look at why all of this is still so incredibly important. But that's enough of what happened last week. And I'll give you a quick glimpse as to what's happening in the next 2 weeks. We have next week we're talking about whether or not, how do you navigate being both a Christian and an openly gay person. I think that's certainly, for many folks, that can be a difficult territory to tread, with a lot of anti-Christian sentiment in the gay community, and also, the perception of a lot of anti-gay sentiment in the Christian community. As you know, reach out to us at Velvet Studio One if you have any input on this conversation. We'd love to hear from you and kind of build that into our conversation. We've got a couple of folks lined up to talk who are openly gay and Christian, and they'll be telling us about their experiences over the past couple of years and how to navigate that. And I hope in, the feeling of the season that we can kind of come together and maybe promote a bit of a loving compromising, not compromising in an appropriate way, but, compromising in the best way possible approach to working together and collaboratively, moving forward. And then at our New Year's in the last week of December, of course, we have the big gay quiz of the year. I'm very excited about this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget to check it out. Play along at home. Have a pen and paper ready. So if you're in the car in a couple of weeks driving around, make sure you have that notepad and that pen. Obviously, if you're driving, don't drive whilst distracted. I realize that us having a crazy amount of fun can be very distracting. But, make sure you have a pen and a pad ready to join in with that quiz in a couple of weeks here on the Velvet Studio. But in the meantime, it's going to be quite difficult to have a one-sided conversation. So I'm going to jump to our first track that we chose for today, whilst Sebastian makes his way here. And this is Billy Brown by Mika. And the reason why we chose Billy Brown by Mika is quite simply, and I think Sebastian could talk to perhaps some of the inspiration behind this, but we chose it because apparently Mika has come out as gay recently. Now, for those in the know, we kind of already knew. I mean, Billy Brown, off his first album, really talks about a man who has a wife and the kids, and then falls in love with another man, and then runs away from his lover and his wife. And it's a very fun, upbeat song, and the video for it is animated and adorable, and certainly worth checking out. But the reason why it's newsworthy and why I feel maybe not so newsworthy is because he had already come out in French to reporters in Europe, in the French community there, and I think it was either Belgium or France, where it was seen as less of an issue and had less of an impact than in the Anglo world. So what are your thoughts? Is it easy to be, I think the term is allosexual in French culture, or is it, easier to be out in Anglo culture. I think here in Canada we have an interesting perspective with that mix of official languages. So let us know your thoughts. And this is Mika's Billy Brown, and we'll be back just after this.
Took it to dog and then the cautionary wife. While it was all going according to plan, then Billy Brown fell in love with another man. He met his lover almost every single day, making excuses for his dodgy holiday. On some religion that he said newly found, they didn't know that his faith was earthly bound. Somewhere to go. He found an island off the coast of Mexico, leaving his lover and his family behind. Oh, Billy Brown needed to find some peace of mind. And on his journey and his travels on the way, he met a girlie who was brave enough to say, when they made love, he shared the burden of his mind. Oh, Billy Brown, you are a victim of the time. Cautionary wife. While it was all going accordingly to plan, then Billy Brown fell in love with another man.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of the top community queer talk show in Canada. Now, as you may be aware, I never actually introduced what today's topic is. More Fool Me, and more importantly, our co-host Sebastian is still on a bus. I feel like for anyone in urban areas, still on a bus is an experience that many of us empathize with. There we go. Absolutely, I think it's certainly something that people can empathize with. Now, one thing that I can't empathise with, and I think this is important, it's going to segue very nicely to what's going to happen next. So we had, I'm actually going to pull this up on my screen here so that I can do two things at the same time. Let's have a look. There we go, excellent. So there's been interesting news happening, and that's the bulk of today's show, is really talking about, you know, what news is happening across the world in terms of, like, the GLBT community. Now, you're probably thinking, gosh, you know, what is happening? And that's what we plan to talk about. And the one thing that did come to my attention was a news story about a radio host in the States, the host and founder of the show Mission Radio. Now, this host and founder apparently was lamenting the lack of anywhere to shop because everywhere is just so ridiculously pro-gay that there's simply nowhere for to find your values. You know, although this news story has kind of propped up again, but it did come out on the 4th of January. You know, I don't know why this has now come up. And I think that's an interesting comment. And I think our shows, other shows on the station here have discussed, you know, the idea of fake news and also old news reappearing many, many months later. But I think it asks an interesting question, you know, where should you spend your hard-earned dollars in terms of, you know, stores where you share the values? I was pleasantly surprised this week in the news that actually did happen this week. Tennessee has been considering, you know, changes to the laws regarding LGBT protection. So, protections to ensure that lesbian, gay, bi, and trans folks aren't discriminated against. And they're looking to kind of either remove them or introduce laws that would kind of curtail them. Very much a North Carolina kind of situation that we're looking at here. Famously, North Carolina's HB2 or House Bill 2 cost the economy of North Carolina hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the damage to its reputation in terms of national and international trade is still being calculated. Silver lining of 2016, Governor Pat McCrory did lose his job. He tried to have recounts in almost every county, but the Democrat governor challenging him was very successful in what was seen as an edict against this particular bill, HB2, which, of course, the new governor has promised to repeal. So we're very excited about this. But this brings me back to the conversation of where do you spend your hard-earned dollars? Now, this lady in the news on the radio, Sebastian just arrived and points at his butt. He wants us to spend our hard-earned dollars on his butt. Now, that's just inappropriate, Sebastian. I'm not turning your mic on yet. You're all panty.
Are you saying my butt is inappropriate?
Always. Now, where do you spend your hard-earned dollars? Well, what I was surprised by is Jack Daniels, everyone's favorite Tennessee whiskey, came out in strong support of the LGBT community. They essentially said that, you know, it's going to have a huge impact on business, and they won't stand for it or stagger for it, depending on how far in the bottle you are. But either way, I was like, Jack Daniels, good on you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I haven't been able to have Jack Daniels since Pride in 2007 when I was in Toronto and things got a little bit too carried away. But, you know, I'm sure lots of folks will now consider Jack Daniels. And we are joined by Sebastian.
Hi.
So we were lamenting your bus woes earlier.
Oh, I see. Yes. My mother has an uncle, Jack Daniels.
Oh, really?
Actually, he's John, but Jack is just the diminutive form of John. I don't know how that works. It's like how Chuck comes from Charlie. It's weird. But yeah, Jack is for John, and my mom has an Uncle John.
So he's John. So it's technically John Daniels, but it's...
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's bizarre. Yeah. So I mentioned this because...
Never mind. Go on. What were you...
I was in the middle of doing something, and then because you were saying something, and
yeah.
I was not saying something. Oh, my gosh, we don't know if we're coming.
Maker's Mark, that's what's interesting. Maker's Mark is everyone's favorite Tennessee whiskey, really, but, you know, Jack Daniels is the one that they export a little bit more.
Well, so what I wanted to mention earlier is that this radio host doesn't know where to spend her money.
Okay.
Because she's Christian. Everywhere is just so ridiculously pro... pro-gay, that there's simply nowhere left.
Oh, right,
to
yes.
Spend your bigoted
I read
money.
That article, and I kind of wanted to send her a personal letter saying, so are you live streaming me?
I am. I was going to mention it because one of the things that... No, that's inappropriate. Stop it. Now, our listeners can't tell, but Sebastian just gave the live audience a middle finger. And I do this because apparently...
Yeah.
Someone I'm friends with who does a radio show way out in the West Coast is currently also live streaming his show. So we've kind of got like the battle of the live streams happening right now.
I see. It's sort of a queer-themed radio, coast-to-coast circle jerk kind of a thing going
on. No, I don't. I mean, it certainly is not a circle jerk. Let's make that ultimately clear. And, yeah.
And obviously, Inappropriate is my middle name.
Yeah, well, I thought...
Sebastian is my middle name. Yeah.
So let's get back to the topic here. Where would you spend your hard-earned dollars?
Right, I was saying about that lady. She should go back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s where gay people couldn't spend their money anywhere because they weren't accepted. So, yeah. She should spend her money at the Bible store, which is an actual chain.
They had one in Ottawa, didn't they? It was opposite to Feminist Sex Store, which I thought was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Melissa McClelland, who we used to play her music on here a couple years ago, she's also a friend of a friend. Like, when I was still living in Burlington, most of my friends were musicians. I think I've mentioned this before. Anyway, she was sort of in my extended circle, and she has this song about a building that is a church on one side, and in the basement is a strip club. And it's based on an actual location in, I think she said Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or something. But anyway, it's a story based on an actual location. It didn't last long. There were noise complaints. Actually, from both of them about the other side.
Oh, really?
But still, she just thought the idea was so hilarious, she wrote a song about it.
It is quite an entertaining entertaining story.
Now, is that even pointed at me? I mean, you're not paying attention. Yeah, it's probably pointed at the ground.
Ah. So anyway, one of the other things is that it amazes me that where people spend the money or don't spend the money is still such a huge topic of debate. Because earlier this week in the news, we also found out that a video company, so somebody who records weddings, were outraged that that they would have to video gay weddings, even though nobody had actually asked them to. So they were outraged that they were being forced to videotape this non-existent wedding. And they were taking it to court because they didn't want to be forced to do this for this thing that didn't actually exist.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, you have all the stories about the cakes, right? Wedding cakes, gay wedding cakes, where people sued cake making companies and places and boutiques for refusing to make a big gay wedding cake for them. And of course, you know, the natural response is, you know, maybe you should buy your cake elsewhere where they're not going to be horrible people.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't solve anything. I think the answer, and this is an answer from the 80s, is to get a local Pink Pages and find out who locally declares themselves to be a queer-friendly company, and then throw your money their way.
Absolutely.
Now, if there's no wedding cake section, then you're going to have to just make some phone calls.
Now, I find it hard to believe that people don't know where to find a gay man that can cook. Like, I'm just saying, you know, it's like struggling to find a hairdresser in the gay community. Not really an issue we face.
That is false. I have been struggling to find a good haircutter in Ottawa for quite some time now. Well, one that I can afford, that's the other thing. Because, I mean, I have found people who are like, yes, but it's $90 an hour. It's like, well, no. When I lived in Hamilton, one of my closest friends, he took a cake decorating course because he was bored and he felt like he needed to get out more often. And on a couple occasions, I would show up at his place and there'd be a three-tiered wedding cake just sitting there in the living room. And the thing is, people knew this about him, and so he did make wedding cakes for people. But there was once, more than once actually, I came over and there was a three-tiered wedding cake just sitting in his living room. And I asked him who it was for, and he said, "No, I was just bored last night, couldn't sleep. Decided to make a wedding cake." And he like handmade all the little candy roses and everything just because he couldn't sleep.
Wow.
I used to make tapioca when I couldn't sleep.
Well, I don't think I've made tapioca, but I don't have trouble sleeping. Clearly, in order to improve my hobby skills, I need
you need insomnia.
I need insomnia. Yeah. I mean, there's no other option to it except for that one.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Now, today's show, and I keep trying to tell people what the heck we're talking about, and essentially it's a jibber jabber show. We're talking about the news.
Right. Okay.
Interesting things that happened in the news. Now, there have been some really interesting things happening in terms of the Oscars and the Emmys and all that jazz. Lots of really good news. Oh my gosh, we've got a comment here saying, I think if you're going into the wedding business, you should be open to all weddings. You'd get more clients, and it just seems common sense to me. Maybe that should be a law of some sort. Well, I think that is a law now, which is why these wedding bakers and candlestick makers and videographers are so upset.
Well, there's also different laws in Canada and the States, and each state has a different law as well, because America's really weird in the sense that, like, the states really are states, like the way that we talk about nation states, but, like, they've divided nation and state into two separate things. And so, like, Oklahoma is a state, but then America is also a nation, but it's not a nation state. Like, Canada's a nation state. It's so complicated. The weirdest thing is that if you break a law in one state and then cross the border, they have to extradite you. Like,
what?
You break a law in Iowa, depending on what kind of law it is, they have to extradite you.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, they have this weird thing, right? Where, especially if you break a law in one state and you go to another state where that thing is not a law, especially in that case.
Yeah. So we've got another comment here on a live feed. It says, you are a poopy butt and furthermore a doody head. That one comes from Sebastian Plant. Thank you so much for sharing that comment with us as we explore this new interactive tool that you are ridiculing because you are actually a doody head. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to just...
Well, it's one whose head is made of doody.
Oh, my gosh.
Clearly.
Well, evidently, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Right.
All right. So, moving on, new topic.
Right.
Now, we try and refrain from talking about Trump. But there's a bit of a funny story that's come out. I mean, it's Trump. He's like a rolling... I think he's going to keep comedians employed
if
for the next 4 years.
Nothing that was happening was reality.
Yeah.
Everything to do with Trump would be hilarious.
Yes, like meeting Kanye.
I mean, it's just because it's actually happening that it's not funny.
It's actually desperately sad. But that's depressing. Being that desperately sad is...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Although more and more people of the College of Electorates in the States are starting to talk about not letting him in because of things like he refuses to have meetings with the CIA because he doesn't feel like he needs intelligence meetings because he's smart enough.
He's a smart guy, like, you know, like, seriously, like, for sure, like, seriously, yes, smart guy. You know, I may have misquoted him there, but it was pretty close to the truth.
It was sufficient. Yeah.
Absolutely. But no, I think he's an idiot. I think he's an idiot. But that's my opinion. And apparently in a post-truth world, opinion is fact.
He is a genius at marketing. We have to give him that. Because he marketed himself really well to the point where, like, he basically... he sold a paintbrush to a blind man, basically, i.e. he sold his governance abilities to America vis-a-vis his really, really good ability in sales. Mm. So, I mean, at least from that perspective, I don't like just broad strokes declaring something universally good or bad. He's really good at sales. And he would make a good doorstop.
See, I disagree.
And
I think in terms of selling America...
You think he
America,
moves around too much to be a good doorstop?
No. But in terms of the sales, like, if the aim then is to be able to sell America to the international stage, everyone thinks he's an idiot.
No.
He immediately peeved off China. Like,
selling
who
himself
does
to the American people is what I'm talking about.
Oh. But then to what end? Just to sit back and make racist tweets? Like, what's the point?
To prove he could do it.
That's not a sufficient
He's an
answer.
Arrogant rich man who's only ever gotten his way. He did it to prove he could do it.
Ugh.
It sounds absurd, but that's, I mean, when you look at, that's basically what it boils down to.
Well,
but what's the story that you want to tell?
One thing where he's not getting his own way is no one is willing to actually sing at his inauguration. Now, I am particularly annoyed by this because they happened to schedule the inauguration on my birthday.
Okay.
I will be writing a letter to the American Embassy because it's going to totally overshadow everything I had planned for that day.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just, they could just bump it a day for me. That'd be nice.
That's not going to happen.
No, probably not. But the point being...
What is this news story?
The news story is that they couldn't find anyone.
Oh, okay.
So the runner-up, the runner-up of America's Got Talent...
Okay.
I.e. a 16-year-old girl has agreed to sing. So, I mean, I'm not sure how big the barrel is, but they're probably scraping close to the bottom at this point. But they finally have announced that they have somebody who's willing to sing.
Well, I mean, I think scraping the bottom is a bit, you know, if she's the runner-up for a karaoke competition, clearly she has at least some talent, right?
Just not the best.
It's also peculiar because there are Republican musicians in the States. They're not all big city liberal, insert the usual diatribe here about bad people and big cities in New York and LA and all that. You're really distracting me right now.
I'm sorry. No, I'm trying to get some more details on this.
This is like when you used to Snapchat and I'd be talking with you and then you would just start making faces and I would say, what on earth is going on here? And you'd say, I'm having a conversation with my sister. Except you never actually typed anything. You were just sending faces back and forth.
Well, that's how you communicate on Snapchat. You're not with the times, man.
You know, it's because of you that I refer to teenagers as Snapchatters.
We're not Snapchat. I very rarely Snapchat. My story hasn't been updated in like a month. I'm practically dead according to social media.
Do you remember what I call small children?
No.
Jam eaters? Technically, it's not offensive because I love jam, but
this
it's
true.
It's just something that a friend of mine, actually, my friend who makes cakes when he can't sleep, he almost trampled a small child. We were in a Target one day, and a small child came dashing out of the aisles, and he almost trampled him, as one does. I have, on multiple occasions, accidentally trampled over children that I literally did not even notice until I felt them underfoot.
Oh.
I know, and I felt really bad, but then, on the other hand, I was like, I mean, you have to learn somehow to watch where you're going.
So having some 6 foot tall guy just run you over apparently the
once best. One of the small children actually got tangled in my legs and I dragged them for a bit.
Oh my god!
And that time I did not have a hey kind of. I was
so
actually.
We're
I
not
felt
advocating
horribly.
That you trample children to teach them a lesson. I feel like we need to be very clear that that's not what we're talking about.
But yeah, no, he almost trampled a child and then he just said, "Damn jam eaters," and it just stuck with me as being something hilarious.
Now, actually, somebody commented and interacted with us and said that we should check out John Legend's comments as to why no one is willing to work with Trump at the inauguration. So we'll try and take a chance to look at that.
Is it because his career is a plague and people are afraid of catching it?
You mean, you're not referring to John Legend here. You're talking about
Trump.
Trump, yeah.
Yeah.
As I say, I kind of like John Legend.
Like when that ship goes down.
Oh my god.
There are no lifeboats.
The problem is that ship is the USSA. So it's going to be a bit of a problem. Anyways, we'll be back on the broadcast and here on Facebook Live just after this. We're jumping to a new track by Tegan and Sarah.
Let's look this up.
And this track is called Dying to Know. It came out, I think, this week. It's very, very new. It's a great track. It's off their new album. Check it out, and the animation is adorable, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Everything you wanted, I'm dying.
Hello and welcome back to Canada's top LGBT community talk show, and we are back. Mm-hmm. We were talking. Now, earlier, we were trying to find that information from John Legend. Unfortunately, in a quick 3-4 minute break, couldn't find it. But, you know, if you can find it.
Actually, do you know what? I know what the problem here. I'm going to try something, and I will only tell you what I'm trying if it works, because if it doesn't work, it'll just be embarrassing. Okay.
Well, that's just disappointing. So you're going to keep us in the dark.
Absolutely. That's how I roll, yo.
Well, that's just as it is. So whilst we try and find that John Legend quote that was mentioned earlier, we are coming back. Now, the NAACP... which is the National Something for the Advancement of People of Color.
Okay.
National Academy, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Lots of awards. Anyway, lots of awards are announcing things now. And the People of Color Advancement, the NAACP, has announced that Moonlight, which we actually promoted a couple of weeks ago, which kind of takes a really interesting and poignant and rather deep look at masculinity and sexuality amongst black men, which I thought was really interesting and certainly worth checking out. If you have a chance to see Moonlight, wherever you are, go and check it out. We're actually having quite a bit of trouble with our Facebook feed. So, oh no, we're back. Okay, never mind.
Hooray!
So, have you found this John Legend quote?
Nope.
Well, you are literally the worst.
Yes.
So that is what I'm going to say.
Yes.
So, this has been an interesting year for movie and television, and you know, I think all of the above. And I think that we've seen an interesting increase in representation.
Are you talking about Batman v Superman?
Oh my God, no.
Are you talking about the Suicide Squad?
No. can you talk for a moment about what you think is the representation or improvements or whatever in LGBT representation this year, whilst I take a quick second to find what I was looking for?
Well, I mean, I could definitely comment about TV. I have not watched any mainstream movies this year. I go through kicks where I watch a lot of movies, and then I go through periods where I watch no movies, and this is a no movies year. I can comment about the return of Please Like Me, and I am now caught up. I finished the most recent season last night, and it was upsetting. The fourth episode of the season, it was so dramatic. It actually had a crisis line promotion at the end during the credits. It actually said, you know, if you found the events of this episode upsetting, you know, feel free to call the following crisis lines, it was pretty bad. But something I found very interesting about the latest season is that Josh is slowly turning into the kind of gay man that he hated in season one, which yet again, Josh Thomas and his show are the only ones that are actually capturing some of the nuances of what it's actually like being a gay man, as opposed to the more usual representation where you come out and then you get a boyfriend instantly. Well, he also got a boyfriend instantly, but that's something else. But you come out and you instantly start dating and you have wonderful sex and everybody loves you and you get a new community and a new home. And no, it doesn't actually work out like that. And, you know. It Gets Better is really only for attractive middle-class white people. Again, he actually emphasizes that, you know, he acknowledges that he is attractive, but he's not enough of the right kind of attractive, and therefore he may as well be not attractive at all.
Yes.
Really complicated discourse in that show. Queer characters showing up all over Gotham.
Which is nice. I like Gotham as well.
Yes. There's been quite a few shows where I was about to say they didn't need to put in a queer character, but strictly speaking, you don't need to put a queer character anywhere unless it is a queer themed show. If you put one in, it's, you know, it's sort of a nice bonus. And I like to think that we, you know, because gay people are everywhere, that gay people should be everywhere in TV as well. But depending on the format of the show, that may not work necessarily. I was about to actually use Roseanne as an example, because whenever I think of, you know, really good TV shows, I always fall back on Roseanne. And I know that show gets a lot of flack, but it was a family format. It largely rotated around a married couple and their three kids and the sister-in-law, who was always there, even though the husband barely tolerated her. But anyway, they didn't need to put any queer characters, but they had three named characters who are regulars in the show. And actually, Roseanne was the first show where they had a same-sex kiss on primetime TV.
When you say regulars, you make it sound like the regulars with really good bowel movements.
No.
Oh, okay, so that's not what we're talking about.
They weren't necessarily people with their names in the opening credits, but they were for at least three seasons in almost every episode. But anyway, so point being, Roseanne, not a great example. Friends, there's a good example. They didn't need to have any queer characters in there. And strictly speaking, they had one that they kept in the closet the whole time. I cannot remember the name of the guy. I've really only watched like five or six episodes from credits to credits. But the guy who worked in the cafe, who was obviously a gay man, but like that's kind of stereotyping. But anyway, I'm rambling. I am very sorry to all the listeners for rambling. I hope you enjoy my ramblings. But anyway.
Okay, let's get back on topic.
What was the actual question? Oh, right.
I'd ask you about representation. Actually, for folks interested, Please Like Me is available on Netflix. The first three seasons in Canada. Be sure to check it out. Now, I don't know how Sebastian found the first four episodes of season four, because that's only available currently in Australia. You have that really good Australian friend.
Yeah, I have a really good Australian
friend. A new Skype call.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But just as a little warning, when you get to an episode called La Paix au Gratin, that is another episode that should have had a warning.
And we're hoping that next year we can actually get an interview with Josh Thomas.
Oh, that would be sweet.
To talk about his show. Now, records are being smashed, which is where I wanted to get the name, and it's Kelly Mantle, who was on season six of RuPaul's Drag Race, who is in an indie film called Confessions of Womanizer. I watched the trailer, and it was like, eh.
Yeah.
But that's not really why this is important news. This is important news because Kelly is gender fluid, and for the first time ever has been nominated simultaneously for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress. Because, of course, I mean, the Academy operates on the binary system. This is huge news that the Oscars are now, being more equitable, more forward-thinking, more trans-inclusive, So,
well, it is the Academy.
Yeah.
And you also have to bear in mind that the Academy it's a classic Academy in the sense that it's largely made up of previous winners. Actually, it's entirely made up of previous winners. To be a member of the Academy, you have to have won an Academy Award. And winning an Academy Award grants you entry into the Academy. That's how it works. There's a lot, like if you look at all the sort of secondary Academy Awards that a lot of people just sort of skip over, like costuming and makeup and lighting and all that sort of thing, there's a lot of queer people who tried to get into cinema, but they were, the guys who were too femme and the women who were too butch. And so they ended up working on the set. So there's a lot of openly queer people, running the boon and doing the lighting for major Hollywood movies. And a lot of them kind of got into the Academy through these sort of side doors, I guess you could say.
Last year, the
Academy is actually very queer friendly because of this.
But last year, the Oscars did come under fire for being hashtag Oscars so white.
That's the Oscars, though. That's not the Academy's. It's a different award ceremony.
Pretty sure it's the Academy that gives the Oscars.
No, the Academy gives the Academy Awards.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I lose track. No, it's the Oscars that I'm referring to.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I think they're the same things.
No.
Pretty sure it's the same thing.
Here, let's ask.
You're going to Google it?
Yeah. Who gives the Oscars?
Unless it's just some guy called Oscar. Just this guy called Oscar gives an Oscar. Anyway, that's beside the point. Kate McKinnon is getting a movie in 2017 called The Lunch Witch. That should be exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Oscars are the Academy Awards.
Yeah, see? Ooh, hashtag I'm correct.
Yeah, it's got to happen every so often.
And Kate McKinnon really shot to fame this year. And there's an interesting connection. Kate McKinnon was, of course, in the Ghostbusters. And somebody else who was in the Ghostbusters was...
Brendan.
Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones was also in the Ghostbusters. But this... And I'm also going to call him an idiot. Milo Yiannopoulos, who got banned from Twitter for inciting hate crimes against Leslie Jones, has been an idiot yet again.
Actually, I mean, if you want to talk about queer representation this year in Twitter and Twitter bans, I mean, we could do an entire episode just on that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's actually really complicated because the number of people who feel that all of the social media platforms are essentially a public space, except that they're run by private companies that have their own best interests in mind as well. And so, for example, the issue with... the showing of female nipples on Facebook is one of those issues, which it's one of those things where, like, if they also banned male nipples, it wouldn't be an issue. But it's the fact that there is this divide where, you know, some nipples are okay and some are not. And then there's that whole trend where women were photoshopping
male nipples and superimposing them.
Yeah, yeah. Especially their boyfriend's nipples onto themselves. But yeah, so that was a strange and interesting process. But I mean, in the end, Facebook is its own company. It's not a public forum. It's not run by the government. Well, it's not a public... public property.
Public space.
Yeah.
But the telecoms is, the airways is, internet service providers lease the public internet.
Well, that's fine, but they don't pay for all of the server space that it takes to run Twitter.
No, but my point is that there's certainly, and the reason why I mention this is because we're hoping to actually get really into this debate next year. Because the EU is considering how to enforce hate speech legislation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole lot.
Etc.
Because right now, those companies turn a blind eye and they said, well, it's users blaming users doing this, doing this. Other users, it's complaints-driven, it's non-responsive.
Well, the other issue is that it crosses borders. And so, you know, the UK can't really enforce that much when, you know, the plaintiff and the victim are both on UK soil, but the server is in America. And then the corporate headquarters for Europe might be in Paris. And how do you enforce a UK law overseas? It's sort of the classic complaint that everyone outside of America has when they watch American action movies and you have somebody going, I'm an American citizen. And you're like, yeah, but you broke a Taiwanese law and you're currently in Taiwan. So, you're going to jail. And
that would be hilarious, like a U.S. action movie where, like, Rambo shows up and then gets arrested for a parking ticket. You know, like, that would just be really funny.
Yeah.
While Schwarzenegger gets stopped for running a red light. I would watch that.
Yeah. Although, actually, last night because I mentioned the Suicide Squad earlier because I was watching Honest Trailers. Last night and this morning. There's a mirror site, the same guy does it, where he actually calculates the racked up damages accrued during a movie.
Oh, like the value thereof?
Yeah, and it was the first one that I saw was Die Hard, and it basically just said, you know, and it was, you know, in money from 1988, it was like office chair, you know, $65, office window, $51, outside office window, and it just like calculated everything, and there was a tank that was demolished, and an entire floor was exploded, and individual candy bars were stolen. That was accounted for. It was hilarious.
Itemized.
But a lot of these action movies not very good, and very rarely, like in Deadpool, they mentioned that of public damages done by action heroes, and how the taxpayer had to pay for,
like,
you know,
rebuilding this tower again.
Yeah, and like in the first X-Men movie, where Wolverine does the really cool thing where he swings around the Statue of Liberty's pointy bit with his claw. Remember, they knocked him off the tower, and he grabbed on with his claw, and then he like spun around it, and then the pointy bit fell off. Somebody has to pay to put that bronze back on.
And then you gotta dredge it out of the water.
Oh my god.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in Manhattan because clearly with all these superheroes running around, and they're only ever in Washington and Manhattan. So if you live in Ohio, you're fine. Like, you know, job done. And they never come to Canada.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Or Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Cardiff, weirdly.
Yeah.
Has a lot going on.
Of alien activity, the more you know. Anyway, this idiot, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos.
Whatever. Has been banned from Twitter, and he has done his tour called the Dangerous, and I'm quoting here, Faggot Tour. And his point really is that the wishy-washy left-wing liberals are all bleeding diehards and bleeding hearts, and they're all pathetic. So this university invited him in to speak under free speech.
Yeah.
And everyone is like, no, don't invite him in. He's ridiculously transphobic and he's an idiot. And he got banned from Twitter because of it. And they're like, no, this will be fine.
Okay.
This particular
okay.
university, though, which I believe is the University of Milwaukee, was in the news last year because there is a trans student there who was battling with the university to be able to use the washroom of the gender of the entity that they go in.
Right.
Now, Milo used this opportunity, the first 5-10 minutes of his speech, to single this student out.
Oh, that's nice.
And belittle him right in front of an audience of all of his classmates.
That's fantastic.
Like, it's a good 10 minutes of pathetic high school level. You know, and he goes, I know lots of, and he uses the word tranny, which I would not recommend. It's very dated and somewhat offensive.
Mm.
But he goes, I know lots of trannies who can pass. And then he goes, this guy, and turns and runs. And it's somebody who identifies as a woman. And it's unbelievable. So my point is to say, if you run a university and the LGBT community tells you someone is transphobic and you shouldn't really have them there, don't be surprised when they spend 10, 20 minutes belittling students.
Well, I mean, this gets into the debate between protecting your audience versus giving somebody a rope and a soapbox so they can hang themselves.
Yeah. But the problem is when you have trans suicide rates that are 4 to 5 times the rates of anybody else, the only one using that rope is unfortunately the victims of this individual's particular spite.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a clean-cut, easy issue.
Speaking of rope, I think another news story that really put me on edge is a center that serves queer youth of color in Rhode Island got broken into, the Providence Youth Student Movement, which is a center which works with Southeast Asian youth in Providence, Rhode Island. It got broken into, and somebody strung up a noose.
Oh, that's classy.
Yeah. This is, you know, just a small hint of what we can have looking forward to across America.
Mm.
And now we mentioned the 600-700 hate crimes since Trump took office. I haven't checked the latest figures. We've been doing our Trump hate crime watch.
Yeah.
We need to have like a little jingle for that, I think. But that was some really upsetting news that came up. The Trump hate crime watch. No, it's not quite the jingle.
What was it? That was actually Maybe by Anna Burton, but whatever.
Some good news, though.
Yes.
Well,
tell us.
Silver lining. So we spoke a couple of weeks ago about when we were talking about safety on apps.
Yes.
About a serial killer called Stephen Port. Who lured men over mobile applications such as Grindr. And he was convicted of killing 3 men as a result of this. A few people apparently escaped and were able to save their lives. And
Was this the GHB killings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is all in London. Now, everyone immediately said, you know,
I thought it was the Canal District. Or am I thinking of a different string of assaults? Because there was a whole bunch of GHB assaults.
There's been a few of them.
Yeah.
But the problem was that I think it was around Soho, London, like that area.
Oh, okay.
And this guy would put a suicide note and poppers and GHB on the body and leave it and essentially make it look like a suicide. So he actually got stopped once before. And, you know, no one put two and two together. And the worry that we mentioned a few weeks ago is, you know, that they're concerned there could be up to 30 or 40 other victims once they start looking at all of the alleged suicides that have taken in Soho.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really worried that it's been more prolific than just the 2 or 3 he got convicted for. Now, everyone said, you know, how come this has taken the police so long to put together?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they assume that gay men commit suicide and take GHB above and beyond rates that are normal, which are, by the way, above normal to begin with.
Yeah.
And it turns out the Metropolitan Chief of Police has, Sir Bernard Hogan Hall, has finally said, admitted that the police failed to spot that the four murders were connected. They have actually, mea culpa, admitted that it was an oversight. So I think our hope now is that in Canada, at least, when these things come up, that the police services across Canada will look holistically at the issue and at policing and stop it. He's found a cat hair and he's trying to put it on me. And you are very distracting, Sebastian.
Well, you know, that's how it goes. So last week I was actually at a, I don't want to say conference, a speaker series, actually. I was one of the speakers, I was very happy to say. And I did promote the show. I remember to do that.
Oh, nice.
But it was for a whole bunch of service providers and emergency respondents. It was the Human Rights Learning Forum. So you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
And it was nothing official because it's the kind of thing that none of the agencies can talk about officially and get away with it. Mm-hmm. But there's sort of a collective cringe going on where everyone's getting ready for this sort of thing to spread to Canada because we do tend to run 4 to 6 years behind the States on most major political and social issues. And we don't echo the UK quite as much, but we do echo the UK a little bit. They're not as barometric as the United States are, but they our future tends to look like either America or the UK. And there is this sort of cringe response of, you know, who's going to be our Trump? Who's going to be mm-hmm. our Nigel Farage? Who's going to, you know, what is our Brexit or Trump going to look like? Anyway, the point being, in this instance, what are our hate crimes going to look like when they come to Canada? Now, they've already started to a certain degree.
Absolutely.
But there's also, what can we do to prevent it? What can we do about mm-hmm. it? How can we make people feel more safe? And it's one of those things where I don't think, like, a lot of these agencies sort of don't have permission to talk about it openly just because, I mean, you don't want to be scaremongering. You don't want to, you're also accusing people of doing things before they do anything, and that's just not cool, man.
Yeah.
But there is this sort of general, you know, what we can focus on in a positive way is education, openness, community building, bringing people together, opening lines of communication. And so it is kind of a very positive, you know, future hopeful approach, because at this point in time, that's the only thing we really can do.
We're going to be trying to do that next week when we talk about how Christians and the gay community can come together and work together. And we are playing out with Astra's brand new track, Future Politics. And that's
also the Latvian goddess of winter.
Also a artist that is openly queer out of Toronto.
And Latvian.
And oh, is she laughing? Yeah. That would make sense. Anyway, we'll be back next week. That's all from now. I'm alone. But I know. Steal a horse, somebody needs to hear.